All right, we're recording. Lovely. So we'll kick off, as I said, middle of Yud Amud Bet. Chavti B'Tashlumei Niska, right in the middle, two dots, so just before the wide lines. And this is now, again, going back to the phrase from the Mishnah, right? Chavti B'Tashlumei Niska, we're now liable, this person who has caused damage, even if it's just a small amount of damage, as we spoke about last time, right? We had this, we had a number of different potential cases of what exactly is the Mishnah referring to when it says if you do just a small amount of damage, you can be liable for the whole thing. The best case I think we came up with really was the dig down to 9, and then the last person does the last tefach. The other ones we weren't so convinced of. Now the Gemara continues with this phrase, Chavti B'Tashlumei Niska, I am now liable, or this person is now liable, for paying back the nezek, the damages payment. Chavti B'Niska Lo Katani, the Gemara says, the Mishnah didn't say you paying back the damages, rather Ela B'Tashlumei Niska, right? So it says you're paying back the repayment of the damages, right? So it's an unusual phrase. So the Gemara continues, So he said the reason why they do this is based on the teaching of our sages. This phrase teaches us that the owners are the ones who deal with, but I think Rashi actually explains metaplim in this case simply means that they get it. Rashi, the third wide line in the Rashi is hamba'alim metaplim binavela, says Kolomar notlin es hanavela, they take the carcass. Okay, that's what we're talking about. When you have this animal, which we're working on the assumption, the classic case, which is one animal kills another animal, and that animal, you're now the owner of the first animal, the owner of the damaging animal, obviously has to pay back the owner of the animal who was killed. But aside from that payment, the ba'al, this teaches us, this Mishnah is referencing the fact that the carcass of the animal, which is still worth something, it's not worth as much as the animal was alive, but it's still worth something, but that carcass itself goes back to the original owner, right? Goes back to what we call the nizak, the damaged party. Minah nimili, where do we learn this from? How do we know this? So Omar Rabbi Ami, De Omar Kra. So we're going to have a few different verses where we learn this from. Number one suggestion from Rabbi Ami is Make Nefesh Behema Yishalmeno. Al Tikri Yish. So the verse says Make Nefesh Behema, one who when an animal's soul, person is damaged, when the animal is damaged, or destroyed in that sense, I suppose. Yishalmeno, you pay back. Altik Yeshalmeno, don't read it Yeshalmeno, rather we derive from it Ella Yashlimeno, fill in the gap, fill in the rest, i.e., therefore the payment doesn't have to be the full payment, right? The animal, but you pay it minus the value of the carcass, which the carcass goes to the original owner, to the Nizak. Okay? So that's number one. That's talking about a person damaging an animal, okay? Which we'll come back to why we have all these different verses. That's talking about a person damaging an animal, and the Gemara derives from there that you pay back, as we said, the difference, not the full amount, but the full amount minus the value of the carcass, because the carcass already goes to the nizak. Rav Kahana Omar. Rav Kahana suggests a different verse. Omar Mehocha. Im Torof Yitoref Yeviehu Ad Hatarefa Lo Yishalem. So what does that mean? Ad Hatarefa Yishalem. So we derive from here, up until the value of the terefa yishalim, that's what you that's the amount that you pay. Terefa atma lo yishalim, the value of the terefa, right, i.e. this carcass, the animal who is no longer alive, that you don't pay lo yishalim. So that's suggestion number two, source number two. Chizkia Omar mehacha. Chizkia says from the following verse, v'hameis yehiya lo, carcass should be for him, goes back to him, la nizak, right? That's referring to going back to the nizak, and therefore we see from each of these three places that the value of the carcass goes to the nizak, but the rest is the expectation of payment from the mazik, from the damager. Everyone with me so far? Okay. V'chein, Tanad Bechizkia. And similarly, Tanad Bechizkia says as follows, Nizak, sorry, that was just a continuation from before. So yes, Chizkiah and the house of Chizkiah, the Bet Midrash of Chizkiah, his students, all in agreement. That's what it's referring to. Right, we've said that it's referring to the Nizak, but how do we know it's not referring to the Mazik? So Amras, lo kachaya, my lo kachaya. So what does that mean when we say lo kachaya? Right, basically lo kachaya is sort of saying, it's impossible, right? There's no way that can be. So when we say lo kachaya, right, so it's not possible that it's referring to the Mazik, excuse me. What exactly does that mean, my lo kachaya? So Amar Abaye, isal kadaitach, Nevela, the Mazik, Havya. If you think that this verse is attributing the carcass to the Mazik, to the damager, Lichta Rahmana, Shar, Tachas, Hashar, Velishtok, right? So it should have just said, right, Bahamisi Yellow is the end of the verse. Bahabari Shalem. Sorry, it's not, yeah, so the verse goes as follows. The full verse goes as follows. Ono da kishur nogach nagoch hu mitzmol shel shom, right? This is talking about a shom muad, right? A shom which is already damaged a few times. V'leish merenu v'alav, and the owners are not looking after it properly. Shalem yeshalem, you should pay back shur tachas hashur v'hamesi yelo, right? You should pay back an animal in place of the animal, right? Similar to the ayin tachat ayin, which we're more familiar with, right? The value, that's what it's referring to. Shur tachas hashur, you have to pay back another animal in place of that animal, i.e. the value of what the original animal was, right? Just like ayin tachat ayin means the value of the eye, etc. So here the Gemara is clarifying that if it's referring to the mazik getting the animal, then it should have just said shor tachas hashor and left it at that, right? As it says, I've lost my place here. Have you isal kadaitach nevela de mazik, right? If we're going to try and suggest that the carcass should belong to the damager, have your lichtov rachmona, the verse should have said shur tachas ashur velishtok. That's it. Should have ended with that, right? That would have been enough. V'hamisi elo lomali, why is it adding on this extra phrase? Shemamino l'nizak, must be it's referring to the nizak, it's referring to the person who has the damagee, right? And therefore therefore that's where the carcass ends up. So that's our third source as to how we know that the Terefa, the Novela, goes back to the Nizak. Utsricha, right? And it's necessary, right? It's necessary to have all three of these verses. Why do we need to have three different sources from the Torah, right? One should have sufficed. So in some cases you have different sources because there's a debate. But here it seems to, although each one is brought by a different opinion, right? We seem to be suggesting that actually everybody... everybody's in agreement, really, that all three sources are necessary. That's what the Gemara is going to try and prove. Utsricha, all three sources are necessary. De'ikos of Rachmana, Make, Behema, Yishalmena. If we would have just had the first source, Make, Behema, Yishalmena, that's referring to a person who causes damage to an animal, right? Not that my animal caused damage to somebody else's animal, but I myself, right? I myself went and killed someone else's cow, right? So there... you might have thought, maybe that in that particular case, the reason that the carcass goes back to the nizak, right, was because particularly unusual, right, in that case. I.e., we'd have thought that it would be limited to that case, be limited to that very, very strange case. It was almost like a quirk, because that case is obviously very, very unusual for a person to just, randomly go and destroy an animal, right, kill an animal. So, belonging to someone else, so therefore that would have been lo shchicha, and therefore you'd have thought otherwise. Avol treifa de shchicha, right? The regular damage caused to an animal, emalo. Therefore, we would have thought that would have been that in that case the same rules would not have applied. The carcass would not necessarily have gone back to the nizak. And therefore, we needed that extra. We needed the extra verses as well. But yashmeinon treifa mishum dimimela. And if we're talking about a case of a terefa, i.e., this is referring to, I think it's referring to a case of shomrim, unless I'm mistaken, a case of where a person is looking after Yes, okay, yes, correct. Okay, so that those verses are referring to a shomer, referring to where I put my ox in the care of somebody else, right? And the damage is caused by the fact that they were negligent, right? They just simply weren't looking after it properly, i.e., they let the animal wander off, and the animal, something happened to the animal while it was wandering off. So then, in that case, the shomer is considered the mazik, right? The guardian is considered to be the person who caused the damage. They're the one who has to pay back. And even in that case, the carcass goes back to the nizak, right? The carcass is part of the payment back to the nizak, the person who's had damage caused to them. But we might have thought that in that case, that would have been unique. Why? V'yashmin and treifu, if we would have just had that verse, mishum demimela, because it was automatic, right? Because in a sense, you didn't do anything yourself. Right, and there was no damage caused per se. The animal almost caused damage to itself, or something happened to the animal while it was wandering around. I don't know, it was attacked by wild animals or something, or whatever happened to it. Right, it fell over. But in a sense, that's a different type. That's mimela. That's not avon makeh behema. Right, to be your dying. Right, where I actually harm an animal with my hands directly. That's different to a shomer. So maybe I would have thought that the case of a shomer would be unique, and therefore would have limited the idea of the carcass going back to the owner to that specific case. So that's two of them. We've explained two of the verses. And if we'd have had both of these, right? One, proving to us that that even in unusual cases and even in automatic cases, right, maybe we don't need that final verse because that is normal. Talking about a case where an animal gores another animal, right? I'm not watching my animal properly, and it goes off and kills another animal. That's more normal. It's very interesting here. The Gemara calls that biyodayim, right? So when you're a guardian of someone else's animal, and damage happens to that animal, the Gemara refers to that as mimela. That's automatic damage. It's not like I did that directly. It's almost, I'm putting words in. Mimela sort of means automatic more than indirect. But it sounds like it's more of a step removed, at least. Yes, I wasn't paying attention, but it's not like I caused the damage. It sort of happened under my watch, and therefore I do it. Whereas here, what we're saying is that when my animal causes damage to another animal, yes, I wasn't watching my animal properly, but the Gemara refers to that as biyodayim, as almost like, with my own hands. It's almost like I did the damage with my own hands. Very interesting perspective, right? I think what the Gemara is teaching us is that that property and the animal is really attributing, all the actions really are attributed straight back to the owner. So that's a much stronger thing. Anyway, that's just really a side point from this Gemara. But the Gemara does say, it's biyodayim. But back to our question over here, why do we need that third verse? Why do we need v'hamesi elo? Why do we need to explain that? Sorry, why do we need to clarify it once we know that in an unusual case and in the case which is, even in a case which is shchicha, even in a usual case, an expected case, and in a case where the animal is done, where the damage is done biyodayim more directly, we know now from the first two verses that the carcass would be part of the payment back to the nizak, back to the damagee. So then why imalo, right? Maybe we don't need the last verse. But yashminan v'yashminan hamesi elo mishum demomona kamazik aval hocha dibegufa mazik imalo. Oh, sorry, the other way around, right? So we said, yes, in theory, you could have had those two, and that would have been enough, but we have the other problem. If we would have just had that third verse, right, we would have had that, Mishum de Mamona Kamazik, and maybe that's because that's specifically your property, right? Aval Hocha de Begufa Mazik, right? In the other cases where we say, where it seems to be your body is doing the damage, right? You yourself are causing the damage. So Eimalo, therefore, again, it's not enough. Also interesting that within, when the Gemara refers to begufa mazik, right, with you yourself causing the damage, that they're including shomer within that, right? A guardian is considered to be begufa mazik with their person, with their body. Anyway, just interesting side points that seem to be thrown up by this. The begufa mazik, same alo, tzricha, and therefore we need ultimately all three verses. Okay, ultimately all three verses. Let's just finish. Oh, go on. Actually, sorry. No, we're going to move on to another thing. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts before we go on to the next stage of the Gemara? Excuse me. All right. So as I said, so we've got the three verses from three different sources, three different types of damage that is caused. Either the person causing damage themselves, the animal causing damage, their property causing damage, or they're not doing their job properly as a guardian. In all of those cases, right, and obviously more, but those are the sort of three fundamental cases. We've now established from the Torah that the carcass is part of the payment back to the nizak. But now we're going to move on from that to figure out what exactly does that mean when we say the carcass goes back to the nizak, right? What exactly are we being taught here, right? Why should that be a surprise to us? In fact, let's look inside. What does the Gemara ask that question, right? Omar le Rav Kahana le Rav, right? Or le Rav. Some change this to Rav, I think. Where is it, please? Okay, I've lost all my... Oh, yeah, le Rav. Okay, so we'll do it as Rav. I think chronologically, I think it's easier to do Rav. So Omar le Rav Kahana le Rav. So he asked the following question. Ela taima de kosav rachmono v'hameis yelo, right? So now we have this, established reasoning. We've got it now that the Torah has explained to us that the carcass goes back to the nizak, right? But it sounds like the reason why that is the case is because the Torah told us, right? Because there is this verse, i.e., ha'lav hachi, if we wouldn't have had that verse, hava amina novela de mazik, right? We might have thought that the novela belongs to the mazik, right? So there's a novela de mazik, have you? So hi, hashta, iis le, ledide, kama trefas, yohiv le, right? Even if the mazik, now the question is as follows, iis le le mazik, kama trefas, even if the mazik has many carcasses, right? Then Yahible, he could give them to the Niza as his payment. Right? That could be the payment. He happens to have a whole stash of carcasses. They're not worth as much as, so let's say you know, for example, your animal, we're going to make up numbers here, but my animal damages somebody else's animal and the cost is £200. The cost of the damage is £200. Now each carcass is worth £50, let's say for argument's sake, right? The carcass that was damaged, right, is worth £50 now instead of £200. So I owe £200. So I can pay with that carcass. I happen to have another three, nearby as well. So I'll give all of them. So in a sense, even whether it goes to the mazik or it goes to the nizak, doesn't make a difference, right? Either way, it can end up going back to the nizak. So it shouldn't make any difference, right? We're talking about the same thing, throwing back to a phrase that we have used in the past. De Omar Mar. Right, we know that we have a principle, Yoshiv, that based on the verse that says Yoshiv libo olav, you have to pay back to the owners. Yoshiv tells us le rabos, it comes to include shove kesef va'afilu subin. We've mentioned this before, the fact that you could pay back even with shove kesef, with something that is worth money. It doesn't have to be money itself. You can pay back with property or with anything that is worth that amount that you need to pay back with. But I feel it's been even the sort of I think we said it was a type of barley, right? Sort of even sort of low level, wasn't such nice stuff necessarily. Klipas achita adavukaba, sorry, right? Some sort of chaff from the grain. But the point is, it has some worth, and therefore, if it's relatively easily sold by the nizak, then that is something you can pay back with. Okay, you can pay back with shovek asset. It doesn't need to be with money itself. You can pay back even with the thing. So therefore, it doesn't make any difference. Shouldn't make any difference. That's our question. Everyone follow the question? Yes. Shouldn't make any difference where the carcass goes back to. Why is the Torah going out of its way to tell us it belongs to the nizak, to the damagee, right? Even if it belongs to the mazik, then he can still pay with it, right? So either way, it's included within. It can be included within the payment back to the damages payment, basically. Okay. So
I would have thought, nobody said anything, but the animal going back to the damaging is outside of any payment, because any payment is for inconvenience.
No, but the aggro, whatever we're deciding, is the amount. But if the you're for sure not going to pay more than that. Why should it be taken out of the equation? I think is my point. Let's put it like this: forget animals, right? I smash up your car, right? It's a write-off. When you sell that car for, I don't know, £100 instead of, you know, whatever, for scrap, you know, instead of what it was, that £100 is, it was worth £10,000 and now it's worth, you know, £100. So I'm only going to owe you £9,900 because I didn't, right? I'm not going to owe you £10,000, right? It's obviously, I mean, that's...
Surely, Brother, the question is more, does it matter if you can pay in kind?
Yeah, that's the question of the Gemara.
The question,
right,
is, who does it matter? Why does it matter if you say you have a loyalty if...
I think that is what the question is.
Can actually give the animal a partial recompense for what's happened.
I think that is the question. I was confused because I thought David was saying that you should just take it out the equation, i.e. the £100 should be in the sense of bonus, almost. I don't think it should be. I don't think anyone would say it would be a bonus, right? That you should take. The point is, you pay the damages. It's included within the amount that you're paying back. I think that's the point. But yes.
Why should it matter?
Right. That's the question. That's the Gemara's question. So we've got an answer over here. Lo nitzracha, right? It makes a difference. We do need it. Why? Ela lepachas nevela, right? Lepachas nevela, i.e. the carcass may go down in value, right? What if it goes down in value? Today it's worth, you know, one day it's worth £50, right? But then, you know, for whatever reason, it's gone down in value. Maybe it could be itself, right? You know, it rots, right? It decays, and therefore it goes down in value. So who has to absorb that loss, right? So Rashi says over here, El al pachas nevela, the hachi amar rachman. This is the bottom Rashi, right at the end of the Amud. At what point do we stop the clock? Right, that's the question. Where do we say pachas nevela begins? That this is the value of the animal today, and therefore that's the value that is. How do we decide that? So Rashi says, the hachi amar rachman. Demishas misa koi birshusei de nizak. From the moment that it's killed, it's in the value of the nizak. So that's already quite harsh. So have over here. The Rosh, I don't know if he disagrees. I mean, from Rashi, it sounds like it's from that moment regardless. Right, and maybe we'll just finish up the Rashi actually, just because he spells it out. V'im hisriach, right, and if it decays, upachsa domim, and it's worth now less mishas misa from the moment when it died for adshas ha'amada b'din until the time of. Until the time that it was that you stand in court. Until the time that you stand in court, then right, exactly. That's okay, exactly. So according to Rashi, it sounds like it should. Yeah, exactly. You're going to end up losing money. When Mishalem named Mazik, Mashah Nezik, have a yeser al adomim. He only has to pay back above the value of the carcass. Shahosa Nevela Shover B'Shas Misa. Only in that moment. The Rosh says no. I only have this in a note, but let's see if I have the exact language. He says. I don't know the exact language, but he says basically, im noda la nizak shebehemto mesis. It's only from the moment where he can actually, where he can do something about it, right? Where he actually knows that he could sell it. Aval kol zman shelo noda lo, have said hu shel hamazik, right? Until he actually finds out that he's, you know, that he's expected to take care of this, then all of that loss would be absorbed by the mazik, right? That loss would be absorbed by the mazik. So it sounds like it's a bit of a debate. As you say, you know, according to Rashi, sounds a bit harsh, because the nizak is inevitably going to end up losing at least a little bit, right? It's not going to be, although presumably you find out same day or, you know, around that time. Hopefully it should be okay. We're going to see, though, that the... Okay, yeah, let's keep going. There is also, this is separate to the idea of what we call Torah, right, which the Gemara is going to come on to discuss in just a moment. The Torah is the sort of annoyance, you know, having to deal with it and all of that. Might be a slightly separate thing, but this is just talking about the value itself, right, the actual value itself. According to Rashi, the clock stops at the moment that the animal is killed. And as we said, you know, that's tough because may end up losing a bit of value by the time he actually sells it. Until Shat Ha'amada Badin means they're standing in Bet Din now and they're you know, deciding the amount that has to be paid back. And that amount that has to be paid back is going to have the value of the carcass taken away. According to Rashi, the value of the carcass at the time of death. According to the Rosh, the value of the carcass at the time when the Nizak could have sold it and I suppose should have sold it or perhaps did sell it. Right, whatever that was. Okay. So the Gemara continues, right? The last line. Lema. Let's suggest. Pachas Nevela Tanoihi. Maybe that's a debate, right? Maybe not everybody agrees to this. Tanoihi, it's a machloket tanoim, right? Of the sages of the Mishnah. De Tanya, because we have a Brisa, right, from that same period, Brisa of the same written at the same time as the Mishnah, or compiled at the same time as the Mishnah. Im Tarof Yitarif. Based on that verse which we had earlier from Parashat Mishpatim, im Tarof Yitaref Yevyehu Aid, I think that should be. Yes, Yevyehu Aid. What does that mean, Yevyehu Aid? Yavi Aidim Shenitrafa Ba'ones Upotu, right? You should bring witnesses that the animal was killed, Ba'ones Upotu, Shashoma Sachar, right? We're talking about here, obviously, a guardian, right? Somebody who's looking after it. And in a sense, the only way that he's going to be exempt is going to be if he can prove that it was out of his control, right? That it was what we called an onus, right? Something which is, totally random. I don't know, the animal was struck by lightning. I was looking after it perfectly well. It's not my fault. You know, that's not something that the Shomer Sofer has to pay that for. So that's how we're explaining. That's how one side of this brisa explains the phrase Yevyehu Eid. Abba Shaul disagrees and says Yavi Iduda, right? You have to bring Iduda, i.e. the Yavi Iduda Lebeisdin. Iduda is the nevela, right? The carcass itself. What he's saying is that he's interpreting the Yevyehu Eid of the verse, not that the person has to bring witnesses if they want to make themselves exempt, rather that they have to bring the nevela itself, they have to bring the carcass to Bet Din, right? I.e. they have to bring it to figure out how much it's worth, right? To figure out how much it's worth. Again, whether you actually bring the physical carcass itself, or the point is you bring some sort of, you know, explanation, reasoning, you know, some expert valuation as to why that's what it's worth. The point is the onus is on that shomer to bring the value of the iduda, the value of the nevela. If that's the case, right, if the onus is on the mazik, right, the onus is on the shomer in this case, the guardian, then that sounds like this is a debate, right? One seems to say, no, it doesn't say anything about it, whereas Abba Shaul seems to say that the onus is on the shomer, on the guardian, to bring the value. Yes?
Isn't the fact that the word
is similar to the witness, isn't it rather derogatory of the
contemporary view of
Aiden? Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I don't think, you mean like flesh, referring to them as flesh. I think it's probably the other way round, in the sense that I don't know why the word... Or yes, exactly.
But could Aiden be translated simply as evidence? Does it have another meaning?
Yeah, you can do, yeah, to an extent, but how does that help us here?
Well, because you translate it to start with as a witness. But if you translate as evidence, then evidence can be any sort of evidence.
Yeah, okay, so I think it probably can. I think it can. I mean,
is there anywhere else that I'm asking about evidence as such? Right?
Well, no, it doesn't need to be a human. It doesn't need to be a human witness to what happened. It often is a, well, you'll tell me this. I mean, in court now, sometimes you have witnesses which are brought as like expert witnesses. That's not a witness who witnessed anything. It means that they're in a sense, bringing evidence, right? They're saying, so I think, yeah, in halakha is a similar thing. When you have, you bring Aidim to prove, well, onus in this case, you know, you could bring a weatherman to say that that, you know, that the lightning bolt that struck the cow was, was out of the blue. It was very surprising.
Well, I guess Dave's question is are there any, can you give any examples where the word aid doesn't mean a person, but means a thing?
It's used as a verb. I can't think offhand. I mean, we've got to also just clarify what levels we're talking here. So, when we're talking about the language of the Mishnah, we're not being quite as nitty gritty in the language of the Mishnah, right? But we're being a bit liberal as we often are, right? Based on the oral law. Or oral interpretations, being a bit more liberal with the text of the Torah, right? The Torah is the one that uses the phrase aid, and there we have these two opinions as to what exactly the Torah means when it's referring to aid. So either it means, as you say, witness or evidence or something along those lines. I don't think that's a significant... I don't think they're saying witnesses to exclude other types of evidence. I think it means general... the point is that, burden of proof, let's call it that, right, and in the sense, Yavi Eidim Shenitrafal Baonus, the point is that the burden of proof should be brought by the Shomer to prove that they are exempt, to prove that the death of this animal was not within their control. Whereas Abba Shaul seems to be saying that it's not, that the word aid in this case is not referring to the burden of proof that must be brought by the Shomer, rather it's saying that the carcass must be brought to Bet Din, effectively that they have to prove the value of the carcass. My love, the Gemara continues, does this not show the Hakam Miflegi, right? That they're basically they're arguing on this very point. Damar Sovar Pachas Navela Denizak, right? According to the first opinion, you'd say that they assumed that the difference in the value of the carcass falls to the Nizak, to the damaged party, the Nizak Havi, Umar Sovar. And Abba Shaul, the second opinion, the Mazik Havi, he's saying that the change in value is absorbed by the Mazik, right? He's the one who has to take it. So the Gemara responds and says, no, even this Brisa is still not, that's not the subject of their debate. The Kuli Alma de Nizak, everybody here agrees that it's the Nizak who absorbs the damage, and this is what I was referencing before. Vahacha, this is the debate over here, Vahacha b'torach mevela kamifliki. They're discussing who has to deal with it, right? Who has the annoyance of having to actually come to bring the to sort out what the value is, right? Abba Shaul is basically saying Yavi Iduda, that part of this is the fact that the Mazik, although the value of it, yes, it goes to the Nizak, the Mazik is the one who has to actually get the valuation done and sort all that sort all that stuff out. So again, interesting. So that's the according to the Gemara, rather, sorry, that's the debate that is going on within this Brisa. And everybody agrees that the Nizak is the one who gets this Pachas Nevela, the change in value of the carcass itself. Okay, Vahatanya. Now we're going to question this again. Vahatanya. Acherim Omrim, right, others say, some suggest, Minayin She'al Ba'al Hashur, Laha'alos Shur Mibora, right? How do we know that it's the job of the Ba'al Hashur, the original owner, to take his own animal, right, carcass, out of the pit, i.e. I left the pit there, right, and your animal fell in, I'm now liable to pay back for the damage that was caused by my pit. But you, as the owner, is the one who has to actually, get the crane and sort out getting out the carcass. How do we know that? So this seems to flip that on its head, right? We're saying, no, here that we... that it's the Nizak who has to deal with all the Torah, right, all the annoyance. So Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, Kesef Yashiv Liba'olov Vehames. Kesef Yashiv Liba'olov, it's really Vehames Yelo, right? But we're sort of chopping the verse in the middle and saying that what it means is as follows. Kesef Yashiv Liba'olov, the money, right, is paid back, the value is paid back to the owners, the hames, right, and the carcass, right, is also goes back to them, and therefore Omale Abayla Rava, Hai Torah Nevela. So sorry, this is the next point, right? Omale Abayla Rava is the next point, but until now, so basically based on that verse, what we've said is kesef yashiv liba olav v'hames. You have to pay back the damage to the animal, to the owner, liba olav, given to them, v'hames, and the mace also goes to them. And therefore, we see from there that they're the one, the nizak, the baal hashar, the original owner, is the one who has to actually deal with the sorting out of all of those details. Okay. It's an interesting. I don't know how it works now. It probably depends on the situation, and I imagine. I mean, certainly, I feel that many of the cases nowadays you have a similar thing where as much as you may get your money back, right? There's always a massive amount of annoyance that still tends to go with these sorts of cases where you end up getting damages, and I guess that's part of the discussion here. And if you have the flip side is that if you put it all on the mazik, right, if you say that the damager is the one who has to do all the valuation, things like that, then he has very little skin in the game, right, in a sense. So that doesn't make much massive difference to him, whether it's more or it's less, in a sense. It's not... it makes it... Right. Is it always taught? If I kill someone else's animal,
yeah, that's a tort.
And so, right, interesting. Okay,
that's a tort. So it's a civil wrong. If you don't have a contract, you know,
right?
So the test for damages for tortious act is reasonable foreseeability.
Although that, you're talking about for the onus, for the concept of onus, you mean, of what?
Well, for example, if you dig a pit, right, might it be reasonably foreseeable? Obviously, at the time of the Mishnah,
didn't have smooth roads like that.
It was 10 tefach deep.
Yeah.
The principle was that actually that was enough to kill an animal,
right?
So you can be vulnerable. Then the question would be, well, say it costs you to take the animal out of it.
Right.
Ought you not to be able to put that cost,
yes,
onto the tool? Should you bear that cost yourself?
Right.
It seems a bit unreasonable to me.
Yes.
That the owner of the animal should have to bear the cost, if it costs them, getting the animal out of the pit.
I think that's true, and I think nowadays I think it would be slightly different in the sense that it's cost. But here we're assuming there's what's called Torah, right? It's more to do with annoyance rather than cost. Again, you could always
still compensation.
Yeah, but I mean, let's say nowadays it's probably a similar thing. Nowadays, you know, it's again, I guess I think of it in terms of cars. Animals sort of become cars now, but that's you know, let's say to phone round, you know, and to have the fellow come around, make sure that you're home when the guy comes to pick up a scrap, etc., and all of that. So that's what I consider Torah, right? Does it cost you money? You could argue it costs you money in some ways. You know, sometimes you may have to take time off work. Yeah, exactly. Time is money, you know, and all those things. Yes, that's true. But that's, I guess that's also just part of the challenge of it's very difficult to put a figure on. I imagine that still falls down to, I mean, you know, it's a pain. It's always going to be a pain. Sorry?
Require a tractor or digger to get the animal out of the...
Yeah, then maybe you could do. Maybe, yeah, that's a good point. I don't know what you'd say. Maybe even within this, that could be, if that is what is needed to
I think what we're learning is that the responsibility, once you know that it's your responsibility.
Yeah, but there's a difference. Out. Yes, responsible, but that's responsibility. There's a difference between Torah and mammon, you know, to use the phraseology of the Gemara, in the sense that there's annoyance, you know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, from to my mind, I don't know what would be interesting to look in the Shulchan Aruch, you know, to see what the later authorities discuss in these specific cases. But to my mind, when I think of, like I say, having to phone round, you know, and wait for the fella to come pick it up, etc., that's what I would call Torah. Whereas if there was a fee that you that everyone would be expected to pay to try and sort it out, then I would have called that... I mean, nowadays you could call it the opposite. Now that we live in this disposable generation, sometimes it's actually more... It can sometimes cost you more to get rid of something than you know. Then once upon a time, everything had value, right? You know, even your old clothes, you know, had value. Nowadays, if you have old, you know, ragged clothes, it's more annoying to get rid of them than it is to try and yeah, to sell the materials, as it were. Yeah, no one's interested, unfortunately, nowadays in the raw materials. So again, that would be very different. That would be very different. What we've not really talked about. We talk about this here. Remember, it's the Rishonim that talk about it. There's a bit of a discussion here about. About using the carcass altogether, right? As a almost the business of it, right? Because there's a separate prohibition on, you know, having business in non-kosher animals, right? Let's say once the animal is a trefa, right, it's no longer able to be eaten. So although there is no what we call iser hana'a, there's no prohibition to benefit from these things per se. To use it as a business is an interesting is not so straightforward, actually. So I think there's a bit of a discussion on that, but maybe it's in the Rishonim rather than in the Gemara itself. Okay, we'll leave that. Let's leave that for next time. Let's just finish off. I want to try and just wrap up this final point. Omar le'abay le'rova, hay torach novela, hey chidomi, right? How exactly do we define, right, or do we describe this torach novela, this annoyance, this the actual exertion, maybe let's call it, of dealing with the carcass? Ilema divabira shavya zuza, right, that in the town, in the big city centers, it's worth one zuz, that's what it's worth. Va'aguda shavya arba, right, and in a different place, where it is now, right, in the actual pit itself, right, if you would have had a carcass in the, maybe this is what you're saying, so far as I understand this Gemara, I think actually this is exactly what Phil is saying, but maybe, well, let's just finish it and see if we don't, right, if it was already sitting in the marketplace, right, then this carcass would be worth a zuz, but now that it's over here in the pit, right, it's worth four zuz, right, why, because maybe again, same thing, you've got to get the crane that, you've got to get it, you've got to pay something to try and get it there. So therefore, it's it's in a sense the value goes up, right? It's going to cost you more. Ki torach b'dinafshe torach. So he said no. So here we're talking about the torach being, right, the fact that you can getting it out means that you just you can do it yourself, right? You it's something you can do yourself, and therefore it's not going to cost you more. I think that's exactly what you were just saying before. Right, if you're going to have to pay to get some to sort this out, then that is going to add to the value. But here we're just assuming that we're talking about a case where you can just deal with it yourself. Yes, there's a bit of annoyance, but you can basically manage dealing with it yourself. So Omar Le Rava responds, Lo tzricha divavira shavya zuza v'aguda nami shavya zuza. Right, sometimes you might have a case where it just happens to be the exact same amount. Right, the exact same amount, whether it was in the market, whether it's here, the cost of the carcass is going to be exactly the same. What do you mean? Is there such a thing? Right? It's always going to cost you more. If it's sitting over here, it's always very different. There is always going to be a transport cost, right? It's always going to be something to get it from A to B or to get it out, right? Once it's in the middle of the town, then that's always going to be better. So say in the hot Omri Incha. The hot Omri Incha, right? We know this. There's a classic phrase that people used to say, apparently, time and time again. Kashura b'masa b'zuza, kashura b'davra b'zuza. Right, so say, yeah, people say that there is such a thing, right? When you have something which is sold in the town for a zuz, it's also worth a zuz in the we're talking about there, not an. Yeah, so right, yeah. Sometimes you'll have a shur in the town which is worth a zuz, and b'davra when it's in the field, it's also worth a zuz. And therefore, you it's still going to end up being the same value, right? Same value wherever we find it. Okay, but as I said, just to sum up, we've had this discussion about the fact that everybody agrees, right, based on all these various verses, that the payment back, right, when the animal was worth, using the classic case, the animal was worth £200. Now the carcass is worth £50. Mazik, the damager, has to pay back £150 because the carcass itself is included within that valley, right? That is going back to the Nizak. That's going to belong to him. The Torah of doing that, we said, was a bit of a debate, right? We seem to have a bit of a debate about it. Some say it does belong to, you know, we had one suggestion where it's going to have to be taken care of by the Mazik. Another suggestion where it's going to have to be taken care of by the Nizak. And we ended off again with this pointing out that we're talking about cases where the value is exactly the same, right? Sounds like if the value of the carcass in this place is going to be, you know, there's going to be more added to it because you're going to have to take it to another area, then that is also going to be included within the cost, and therefore that would also be part of what the Nizak gets, rather than falling to the Mazik. Nevertheless, if the value goes down, then the Nizak, the damagee, is going to have to absorb that change. Okay?